Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Queen in the Mound by Johanna Wittenberg. Narrated by Amy Landon. Chapter 1. The Orkney Islands, September 10, AD 822. Ragnhild eyed Raider Bride's blue and white striped sail, its belly full of the westerly wind, and straining at the sheets as the ship galloped over the indigo waves. Beside her, Murta steered, hand on the tiller, gaze fixed on the sail. Ragnhild was proud of how quickly her husband mastered handling the Karvi. The Irishman was no stranger to boats and the sea, but the rounded, hide-covered curraghs of Ireland were as different from the sleek Norse longship as a farm cart was from a sleigh. Voyaging north from Ireland over the past week, Murta had grasped those differences. Though he was in his mid-30s, his wiry, compact body had the energy to match the youngest of the crew, and he'd gained their respect. Even Ragnhild's three húsgarlar, Einar, Thorgeir, and Svein, found him a tolerable companion. The Norse had no love for the Irish after their treatment at Irish hands, but Murta's cheerful disposition and willingness to work, whether bailing, rowing, or cooking, had won them over. Though he'd lost his kingship, Murta's royal blood and family connections had ensured their welcome in the Irish-held island kingdom of the Dal Rita. But once they'd passed the island of Iona, they entered Norse waters. The Norsemen here were no friends. Raider Bride had emerged from the shelter of the southern isles early that morning. A brisk wind filled her sails as she skirted the west side of the Orkney archipelago. Ragnhild set their course well offshore, hoping to make it past the island of Birshi without the notice of Jarl Ivar, her brother's ally, her enemy. "If this westerly holds, we'll raise Tromøy in less than a week," she said to Murta. "I can't wait for you to meet Åsa. She'll help us recruit our army and train them over the winter. Then in the spring, we'll sail to Gausel and claim what's mine." She grinned in anticipation of taking charge of Gausel. It would be like commanding Raider Bride, where she made the decisions and no one could tell her what to do. With her own kingdom, she would never be anyone's pawn again. Murta smiled as he watched the sail.
"You seem very sure that Åsa will support you."
"She knows that Harald has no right to withhold my inheritance. She'll help us set things right."
"I hope so. A tree."
Ragnhild wrapped her salt-stiff brown braid around her hand.
"What do you mean?" "You don't know Åsa. She'll come to our aid."
"If it's to her advantage, she will."
"Osa's not like an Irish king. She's loyal to her friends."
Murta shrugged.
"You know her better than I do."
Ragnhild twisted the braid tighter and looked up at the sail. The ship rolled in the ocean swell, lifting the foot of the sail. Beneath it, Ragnhild glimpsed a flash of white against the low dark hulk of the distant island to the east. The sail dipped and hid the flash. As it lifted again, she squinted across the water. There, a white shape, too square to be a wave.
"Sail ho!" cried the lookout.
As the shape resolved into a long ship, Ragnhild could see that it was on course to intercept Raider Bride.
So much for luck and the blessings of the gods. "To arms!" she ordered.
The crew were already rooting in their sea chests, bringing out bows and quivers of arrows, tucking battle axes in their belts, donning steel helmets and padded linen battle jackets hardened with many coats of varnish. Though a few owned chainmail brynjas stowed in their sea chests, nobody wore them in a fight at sea, for the weight hampered balance, and if you went overboard, dragged you down to Ran's feasting hall at the bottom of the sea before you could swim a stroke. Ragnhild drew her own battle jacket from her chest and pulled it on, then settled her helmet on her head, stuffing her braid up under it. She strapped on her sword, lady's servant, then took the tiller so Murta could arm himself.
"They're coming out of the Broch of Birshi," said Einar.
Ragnhild nodded grimly.
"Ivar's stronghold," she said to Murta.
Do you think they recognized us?
Probably not at this distance, but they're pirates. They'll attack any passing ship.
Murta nodded, belting on his sword.
We've got the advantage of the windward position, Ronghil said. But the wind is setting us toward shore, and our enemy.
She pointed her arm into the wind. We need to maintain a position due west of them. They can't sail directly into the wind to intercept us. The best they'll be able to do is stay on a converging course and wait for the wind to set us down on them. We need to keep our windward advantage.
I'll stay on the helm.
Murta nodded. Right now they needed Ronghil's expertise to steer Raider Bride. He kicked off his shoes and shouldered a bow and quiver of arrows.
I think I can do them some damage with this.
Ronghil altered course a little closer into the wind, away from land and more parallel to the oncoming ship. The crew tightened the sail in response to the course change, and Raider Bride heeled over more, throwing up spray. It became a race between the two ships. Ronghil fought the helm, striving to coax more speed out of Raider Bride, while still heading as close to the wind as possible. The two ships would converge, eventually, but Ronghil intended to put that off as long as she could. Their pursuer was faster, and the wind was setting Raider Bride down on them inexorably. The other ship was close enough now that Ronghil recognized the red-checked sail.
Sea Steed! Coal ship!
Her brother's spy.
We're not going to get past him, said Einar.
Ronghil nodded sharply.
He's bigger and faster than we are. We can't outrun him.
Then we'll fight him,
said Murta with a grin.
I'd rather avoid that, said Ronghil. I'm sure he's got us outnumbered.
Coming from his home port, Cole would have a fresh crew of 40 or more bloodthirsty warriors, while Raider Bride's battles in Ireland had reduced her original crew of 40 to 34. 6 dead, and 4 of those who survived still nursing injuries that hindered their fighting ability.
Archers,
she said. Half the crew readied their bows, while the others took up shields from the racks.
Sail ho!
Cried the lookout. Sure enough, another ship had materialized behind Sea Steed.
I have to maintain our distance from Cole, said Ronghil. If he forces us to engage, the second ship will have time to catch up. If the two ships flank us, we don't have a chance.
That could be as many as 80 warriors against her 34. She had to elude them. The wind strengthened, and Raider Bride heeled more, dipping her rail in the seas. The crew crowded the windward rail, adding their weight to help level the ship. They couldn't afford to shorten sail. Ronghil prayed to the sea goddess that they could keep this speed without broaching. If they heeled over too far, the open decks could take on enough water to swamp them. Cole and his companion ran the same risk, but they were bigger, faster, and higher-sighted. Sea Steed's archers sent up a hail of arrows. Murta balanced against the leeward side, sheltering Ronghil beneath his shield, while she concentrated on keeping the ship on the edge of the wind. All along Raider Bride's side, shieldmen gripped the rail with one hand, while they covered themselves and the bowmen from the missiles. Cole's archers were shooting into the wind, and it stole the force of their arrows. They bounced off Raider Bride's shields into the water. Murta racked his shield, unshouldered his bow, plucked an arrow from his quiver, and knocked. He steadied himself against the gunwale as he drew, firing toward the enemy as a dozen of his shipmates loosed their arrows. The favorable wind carried Raider Bride's volley farther and gave it more force. Screams rose from Sea Steed as arrows found their marks. While their enemy recovered, Raider Bride surged ahead, gaining ground to the north. Would it be enough? The other ship had nearly caught up with Cole, and now the two pursued Raider Bride. All three were on the same point of sail, but the bigger vessels rapidly ate up the distance between them as Ronghil fought to keep her slim lead. Murta fired from the stern quarter, joined by Einar, Thorgeir, and Svein. They had to compensate for the westerly wind that blew the missiles sideways, and the narrow stems of the pursuing ships made slim targets.
Fortunately, their enemy had no viable shots from their bows either, fouled by the wind. They didn't even try.
"I wonder if Cole recognizes us yet,"
Ranghil asked, eyeing her distinctive blue and white striped sail.
"We recognized him,"
Murta pointed out.
"True, but he's not expecting to see us."
Murta shrugged.
"There's not much we can do about it either way, Atri."
"No, but he'll report to Haro that we're on our way home. Our element of surprise will be lost."
"It'll be a moot point if we don't survive this encounter."
Murta frowned and put a protective hand on the small of Ranghil's back. The gesture eased the stress that had been building inside her. Sea Steed was closing fast, the carved horse head mounted on her prow clearly defined. The companionship, probably the chieftain Ivar's, was right on Cole's stern. Soon they would overhaul Raider Bride. Ranghil kept the prow pointed as close to the wind as she dared, to maintain her windward advantage. She hoped Raider Bride was more weatherly than the two bigger ships. If one of them got upwind of her, the race was over. The rail dipped into the seas and scooped a wave on board. A few sailors set aside their weapons and sloshed to leeward to bail with their helmets. But their added weight deepened Raider Bride's heel dangerously, and Ranghil ordered them back to the windward side. She glanced over her shoulder and caught her breath. Sea Steed was nearly on them. Murta followed her gaze and his eyes narrowed.
"Here they come."
The enemy ship pointed her prow impossibly close to the wind and slid to windward of Raider Bride, her giant sail shivering on the verge of a luff. Her rail was deep in the water, her crew mast on the windward side clutching the shrouds. As they passed, Ranghil could make out every detail of their bearded faces, the murder in their steely eyes. As Sea Steed pulled alongside, Ranghil recognized Cole at the helm. She met his vicious glare, fury and hatred coursing between them. Ranghil took a deep breath and forced her eyes back to the sail, keeping Raider Bride moving. Ranghil glimpsed the other ship gaining to leeward and tensed. In a few moments, the two bigger vessels would trap Raider Bride between them, and all that would be left for her crew would be to fight and die. Murta steadied himself against the windward rail, his bare feet gripping the deck. He plucked an arrow from his quiver and knocked, training his aim on Sea Steed's helmsman. Ranghil heard Murta's arrow whisper past, and her gaze darted sideways to see the point drive into the shield one of Cole's men flung up. Murta knocked again, and Ranghil focused on the sail. As Murta took aim, they entered Sea Steed's wind shadow. Raider Bride jerked upright and slowed as the bigger ship blanketed her sail. Ranghil brought the ship off the wind until the sail filled and risked a glance at her husband. Somehow, Murta had maintained his position and held his fire until Sea Steed's rail dipped, leaving Cole open for an instant. The Irishman loosed. His arrow flashed by, drawing Ranghil's gaze. Cole reflexively turned his head toward the movement and took the arrow full in his eye. Cole's corpse thudded to the deck, and his shield man grabbed for the tiller, but Murta had already loosed another arrow that struck the man in the shoulder. He fell against the tiller, and Sea Steed spun up into the wind, dead in the water. Its huge sail flogged across the deck, sweeping crew members overboard. Raider Bride's crew cheered as they slipped past Sea Steed. Ranghil hoped the other ship would stop for survivors, but they came on relentlessly. Murta turned his attention to their new pursuer as it charged down on them. A gust hit Raider Bride, heeling her over until the foot of the sail kissed the sea. Off to leeward, the pursuing ship luffed up and spilled their wind to avoid a knockdown. Ranghil gritted her teeth and kept her sail full while the crew put all their weight on the windward rail. The gamble paid off, and Raider Bride shot ahead, gaining a boat length on her pursuer. They rounded the island to the north
and Ronghil shifted her course easterly into the broadening sea between islands. With the wind on the stern quarter, the ship heeled less while picking up speed.
"Bail!"
shouted Einar. The crew put down their weapons and began to rid the ship of water, using helmets, buckets, any container that came to hand. The bailing lightened the ship and helped their speed. Ronghil set a course for the distant headland. The enemy came up behind them, the vast sail blinketing Raider Bride's smaller spread.
"The bastard's stealing our wind!"
shouted Einar. Raider Bride lost momentum, and the bigger vessel overhauled her quickly, its crew sending a volley of arrows. Favored by the following wind, the enemy arrows struck hard on hastily raised shields. Murta sheltered Ronghil from the hail of missiles. She cried out a warning as an arrow sliced into a shield maiden's cheek. The girl crashed to the deck. There was no time for anyone to look to her as they dodged incoming missiles.
"Hold your fire!" Ronghil shouted. "Don't waste your arrows!"
She watched the pursuing ship sail down on them.
"Get ready to repel boarders!"
Ronghil let go of the slack tiller as the enemy threw grapnels and hooked on to Raider Bride's side. She drew her knife and slashed the grappling line, but more grapnels latched all along the side. Murta grabbed a javelin from the midship rack, pivoted, and hurled it at an enemy who was hauling on a grappling line, pulling the two ships together. The impact sent the man stumbling backward, his beard pinned to his throat. Raider Bride's crew hurled spears and slashed lines, but the enemy crew succeeded in pulling the two ships together and made fast. Now they were rafted side by side, hove to with sails backed. The ships pitched in the seas, while the crews fought hand to hand. Ronghil drew her sword and hacked off a hand that gripped the rail beside her. Blood spouted from the stump, spraying Ronghil in the face as the man fell back, screaming.
"Catch!"
cried Murta. She caught the shield he tossed her and blocked a sword blow, bashing the owner in the face while Murta drove his spear into her attacker's side, piercing the man's padded battle jacket. Screams filled the air, from both sides, as blades found their marks, and warriors fell. For the moment, Raider Bride's crew only had to battle one ship, and managed to hold their own. But Seasteed would soon recover. Raider Bride had to fight her way free and escape before they caught up. Murta whirled and hacked with his sword. He leaped onto the gunwales, balancing with a foot on each ship, and slashed down on the enemy, setting helmets ringing and enemies stumbling. From the enemy crowd, a huge man lunged at Murta. He wielded a double-handed axe, flailing it like a wind vane straight at the Irishman's head. Ronghil shouted a warning, and Murta ducked, just as the blade whizzed by, knocking his helmet off and sending him stumbling onto the enemy ship. Ronghil's heart lurched as another warrior raised his axe to deliver a blow that would crush the slender Irishman.
"Look out!"
she screamed as the axe hurtled down on Murta. She shoved her way toward them, roaring, but there were too many bodies in the way. The Irishman leaped nimbly aside and slashed his sword across the big man's hamstrings. The brute roared in pain as he dropped to his knees. Murta hacked his sword into the Norseman's neck, taking the head half off. The lifeless body collapsed on the deck. Murta slashed the rope that held the clew of the sail. He dodged as the huge expanse of fabric whipped out of control. Murta jumped back onto the gunwales and swept his blade along the walrus hide ropes that bound the ships together, then landed lightly back on Raider Bride's deck as the gunwales separated. The ships parted, and Raider Bride's sail caught the wind. Ronghil grabbed the tiller and brought the ship back on course. The enemy ship lay dead in the water while its crew tried frantically to get the sail under control. As Raider Bride slipped out of the enemy's grasp, Ronghil recognized Ivar, Lord of Birshi, screaming orders. Their eyes locked. She grinned in triumph as she watched surprise change to recognition on his face. The sun grazed the western horizon.
"It's a risk to skirt the northern islands after dark," said Ronghil.
None of us are that familiar with the islands, but we have to maintain our lead before the enemy recovers. Who's got lookout?
I'll go, said Svein.
White flag in hand, he went up to the bow to signal telltale surf breaking on rocks and reefs.
Myrta stared aft, watching their pursuer. Groans rose from amidships as Einar and Unn tended the wounded. Ragnhild braced for the splash of a corpse heaved over the side, but none came. So far, it seemed everyone had survived the battle. She glanced back to see Ivar's crew recapture their flogging sail.
No sign of sea steed.
Yet, Ragnhild took slow, deep breaths. They had a long way to go.
They're turning back, said Myrta.
Ragnhild squinted at their pursuer. Against the brilliant sunset, the enemy sail was indeed changing shape. It narrowed, and then billowed out on the opposite tack as the ship turned for home. Apparently Ivar didn't think they were worth the risk of the treacherous waters after dark. They can probably just make it home before full dark, said Ragnhild. Her hands on the tiller trembled with relief.
I'll take the helm,
Thorgeir offered. Thanks. She peeled her fingers from the tiller. Myrta put a steadying arm around her. They made their way forward, where Unn tended the wounded in the shelter of the high prow. Groans and the stink of blood filled the air. Unn had trained as a shield maiden, but also proved adept at healing. Einar was helping her bathe wounds in seawater and wrapping them with strips of linen. Four of Raider Bride's crew lay on the deck, three lads and a young woman. The shield maiden had a gaping wound on her cheek. It was she who had taken the arrow to the face. The girl was conscious, but she made no sound. Ragnhild's heart twisted as she recognized Ursa, one of Unn's younger sisters. The sisters had once numbered five, but the eldest had been killed in battle the year before. If they lost Ursa, too... How are they? Asked Ragnhild. Unn shook her head.
The three lads will heal well enough. They're sleeping. As for Ursa, I got the arrowhead out of her cheek, but I don't know how she will heal.
She didn't say if she will heal. I pray the god she will recover well, said Ragnhild. Unn nodded and cast an appraising eye over her.
There's nothing you can do here, lady. You need some rest.
Ragnhild nodded, suddenly aware of how weary she was. Myrta had stayed at her side, and he helped her to the shelter of the bow before she sank to the deck. She eased her back against the hull, rubbing the tingles out of her stiff hands. Myrta settled in beside her, and his arm went around her. She let her head rest on his shoulder and whispered thanks to the sea goddess Ran that he was here, hale and whole.
Ivar recognized me. He'll get word to Harald, and he'll be ready for us, she said.
We'll take care of that when the time comes, said Myrta. Spring is a long time off.
The first stars appeared, and Einar measured their distance above the horizon with his fist. He directed Thorgeir to come around due east, to home. Ragnhild closed her eyes and nestled into her husband's arms, lulled by the shushing trickle of the sea, running along the hull.
Chapter 2. Southern Coast of Norway. September 12, A.D. 822.
Myrta watched Ragnhild deftly steer Raider Bride between the high-sided rocks that protected a flat sandy beach in a deserted cove. After the two-day passage from the Orkney Islands, he was glad to make landfall. They were on the southern tip of land, south of Tromøy, and far from Ragnhild's treacherous brother. The westerly wind that had carried them so far had petered out, and now they were becalmed under a light drizzle. The fury of battle had long since ebbed, leaving him tired and homesick. He shrugged off the feeling, knowing that a full belly and a warm fire was the cure.
Einar picked up the anchor, and at Ragnhild's nod, heaved it over the side.
"Stroke!"
she cried. The rowers dug their oars in for one final push, and the anchor line paid out. The surge lifted the longship's keel, and with a jerk, the anchor grabbed and held.
"Ship oars!"
The rowers pulled their oars in through the notched holes as the surge carried the ship onto the beach. The keel ground into the sand and held fast, while the stern swayed in the waves, tethered by the anchor. The oarsmen stood and laid their long sweeps in the midship's rack. Murta joined those crowding the bow. Taking a firm grip on the gunwale, he vaulted over the side into the knee-high water.
"Heave!"
At Ragnhild's command, they hauled Raider Bride onto the sand. She shipped the steering oar and sprang onto the beach beside Murta, then stood by to help the wounded crew members disembark. The three injured lads were able to climb down with assistance. Ursa was gently handed down, wrapped in furs. The shield maiden moaned as Murta and three others carried her up the beach and lowered her onto the sand. Murta knelt beside Ragnhild and Un as the healer removed the bandages on her sister's cheek and sniffed. He braced for the stink of rot, but the wound was still sweet. Un nodded, though worry creased her brow. They all knew wounds could sour quickly.
"Tova, Ylva,"
Un called to her younger sisters.
"Go find me some cobwebs."
Un dipped a clean linen cloth in salt water. She bathed the injury gently, but Ursa moaned and writhed weakly under her sister's touch. Ragnhild restrained the injured girl, while Un soaked away the dried blood. Tova and Ylva returned with handfuls of clean cobwebs, which Un laid over the injury, sealing it with a salve of herb-laced honey from a little pot. Then she bound the girl's face with a clean strip of linen. Ursa groaned and sank into that limbo of half-consciousness, the pain rousing her each time she dozed. Ragnhild rose, brushing the sand off her breeks, and Murta followed her to join several crew members gathering driftwood, while Thorgeir sparked a pile of shavings with his fire steel, hulking over his work to shelter it from the light drizzle. The fire caught, and Svein fed the tiny flame with twigs. Soon the blaze crackled, scenting the air with wood smoke. The day's trolling had been successful, and they cooked fresh haddock on a stone at the fire's edge, while Einar broached their last cask of Irish ale. Murta sipped his with regret. He'd have to get used to Norse ale from now on. He turned to his food with relish. The Norse did know how to cook fish. When they had eaten, everyone sat back expectantly, picking their teeth. It was time for stories. Svein turned to him and said,
"Lord Murta, it's high time I told you the tale of Hervor, the greatest shield maiden of her day. Your wife is much like her."
The story was obviously well loved, for everyone cheered. Murta stifled the regret at being addressed as Lord instead of King, and smiled at the big Norseman. Svein took a great drink of his ale and launched into the tale.
"Hervor was the daughter of Ungantyr, a famous berserker who was killed in battle, along with his 11 brothers, before she was born. Even as an infant, the berserker's daughter was feared as cursed, and many thought she should be set out in the forest for the wolves. But her mother's father was a mighty Jarl, and he decided she would live. He forbade anyone to mention her father's identity, and eventually it was forgotten. Hervor grew up strong and tall, mastering the arts of war. There was not a boy who could stand up to her."
The shield maidens around the fire raised their cups to this.
"When she came of age, she discovered the truth about her father, and that he was buried on a haunted island with the family sword, Tyrfing. Now Tyrfing was cursed, but it brought victory to everyone who wielded it, and Hervor lusted after the sword. She disguised herself as a man and joined a fleet of raiders. Hervor fought and bested every man in the crew, until they elected her leader. She sailed with her ships to the island, where her father was buried, along with his brothers. An eerie light shone from the grave mounds, a sign of magic. Lightning flashed and thunder boomed in the sky over the island.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?